Gosh, so many worldwide issues. Craig Hewlett with us. We're going to take your calls as well this hour when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Craig Hewlett with us. Your calls as well this hour. Craig, you have investigated a billion-dollar race between what was then the Soviet Union and the U.S. in mind control research. We've done some shows on that, but is it still ongoing or do you think it's done?
No, I think it's still ongoing. Those things will never not be done. I mean, I don't really think they should be either. This is a highly volatile world, and Russia, China are pursuing it, even though they're a more authoritarian state than we are, at least openly. So I think our government will always pursue it, even if they don't do it in a public way or you don't see the funding. That's one of the things that the American people have failed in how to address their own government is when we look at, for instance, Blackwater and different security firms that handle most of the military action throughout the 76 nations mm-hmm. we've occupied with military people, boots on the ground, they call it. That's because they're not funded through the Pentagon. They decided 15 years ago to start funding those people that are mercenaries, basically. We call them security contractors. It goes to the State Department. So if you didn't know that, you're trying to figure out who these people are and how many, you were simply looking in the wrong place. So I think that will be the way it will be handled in the future. They're not going to ever admit to us what they're doing on a large scale that could potentially be oppressive against our own domestic population.
Craig, what,
those days will come.
What's the latest between our relationship with Cuba and this bizarre story from the embassy?
The acoustic attacks on our diplomats?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
it's a weird story.
I've been doing this for so many years that even Noam Chomsky said we have to be careful. There might be a false flag by the American government. An incident will take place so they could take away our civil rights or declare martial law. That was Noam Chomsky, not Alex Jones. But that's because Noam Chomsky is starting to have to face the fact that I've tried to tell him myself. Mm-hmm. I've tried to tell him. Just because you don't know it happens and you're not privy to it, it doesn't mean it still doesn't happen.
That's true.
The fact is, we are now living in an oligarchy. We do not have a free republic based on democratic principles. We didn't have free and open elections. We were only allowed to vote for two people, one from the party of the left and one the party of the right. And they got equal votes, basically. And that's how you control a people without looking oppressive. They still think we live in a democracy and a free republic. But when you look at the Constitution, and none of it's being followed by any agency of the government, and the tools being used in a broad-based means in other parts of the world, military use, will come home to roost. It will be used against the American domestic population should we decide to try to take the country back by one means or another.
Well, something happened to these diplomats in Cuba. What do you think?
Well, you know what? It would be more obvious to me that it was another foreign government testing out its tools on Cuban soil, because mm-hmm. Cuba has never wanted to fight with the United States.
No, and I don't think they have the technology to do this either.
No, but you know, almost any country out there, Western country, they would probably do it that. I would do it that way. I would do that. That kind of a thing.
So they would get blamed for it.
Yeah, so the Cubans would get blamed for it. It would be proved effective because the Americans that suffered it have made a big noise about it. But in the background, you know, it would be the USS Craig Hewlett country that actually did all of it and spread it around. And we've been doing this with Great Britain for 100 years. That's all we do with Great Britain and France is challenge each other's domestic and foreign policy capabilities by pointing the finger at each other. Well, everybody's involved. Every country is now involved.
Yeah, they sure are. First-time caller Shane, truck driving in North Carolina. Go ahead, Shane.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Great. Hope you're well, too.
I want to say I listen to your show every night for the most part. It does keep me awake during the night because I drive nights.
Perfect.
I may not agree with most of the song, but it does keep me awake. I do like your guest that's on here now. I like a lot of the stuff that you're saying. I've been saying for years how corrupt our government is and everything else. The biggest problem is that the American people, like you said, they're more or less brainwashed into thinking that they only have two parties to vote for, and they don't. There's more than two parties to vote for, but they're brainwashed because all the other parties, you got the Green Party and the Libertarians and everybody else, that they don't get the media coverage because the media and the government just push them out.
Well, there you go, Craig. You've got somebody who agrees with you.
The president, what was her name? Stein. Can't remember her first name. She's now being investigated for stock fraud.
Yep.
That's the other thing. We eliminate third-party candidates in a discussion that a third, fourth, fifth, or sixth party ought to exist here in America. But that's because the American people stopped reading, period.
Well, and the Internet made it happen even more.
A year.
Joe in the Bronx. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm okay, Joe.
Good. Mr. Hewitt, I heard a statistic today over the radio mentioning that the trucking industry will be needing, or the economy can create 900,000 more jobs in the trucking industry. I have a cousin that started a trucking company called Air Ride. He's since retired and sold his interest. But I wanted to ask you, how accurate do you feel that this number is, and what will create that positive situation?
Okay, give me the number again.
900,000.
900,000 new trucking jobs.
Yes.
I don't see that happening.
How would that even be possible when the President of the United States wants to shut down NAFTA and eliminate the most important part of the NAFTA Accords between Canada and Mexico, and that is trucks and drivers? That doesn't make any sense. It might be wishful thinking, and that may be, a proposal that they're looking at, and that number comes from the proposal.
Right.
Every proposal usually exaggerates a bit in the business world. But no, the foreseeable future is more jobs are going to be lost to robotics. More jobs will be lost in the trucking industry than any other area to be concerned.
I wonder what the Teamsters say about stuff like this.
Well, the Teamsters don't have any power any longer.
Not like they used to.
I gave a lecture 30 years ago. The Teamsters would be there. L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, they would be there.
Yeah.
They have been dismembered. In fact, the unions now are so weak that they can't even stop the jobs going overseas. And there really isn't anything they can do.
No, they can't. They're too concerned about preserving what we have here.
Exactly. And that's one of the problems with every aspect of human life. We get very narrow-minded in our interests, and we don't give a damn what happens to other people that are affected. But look at the numbers. Look at this. You can't ignore the numbers. Of the 100 largest economies in the entire world, the United States is the largest. Of the 100 largest economies, 60 are now multinational monopoly corporations. The corporations are bigger than countries. So who's going to dictate at the World Trade Organization who does what, where, and how the money flows and how the technology gets utilized when the entire World Trade Organization, which was GATT and NAFTA before it became the WTO, are all lawyers and executives from the same corporations that are negotiating the trade deals for the rest of the world to operate on?
We have Chris in Columbus, Ohio now. Chris, you're on with Craig Hewlett. Go ahead.
So, Mr. Hewitt, what I'd like to ask you is 48 hours back a couple years ago, did this story. It's about our congressmen, both Democrat and Republican. They are required to go down out of their office to some building there, and they're supposed to do 30 hours every week raising funds for their campaign. And if you'd heard of this, that would be great. My comment is that we have to follow the money. We need to get these corporations out of the congressmen, the money away from those guys, and possibly start a third party. Also, as a side note, George, have you heard of how Art Bell's doing these days? I just want to ask.
I have not. I have not. I assume he's still in Pahrump, but they had a little baby some time ago, but that's all I've heard, Chris.
Well, on the questions that he posed, I can tell you right now, we do not have 535 congressmen and senators that represent their constituents or the electorate that put them in office. They are beholden in only one area to one group or three or four, and that is the largest corporations that gave them money and put them in office. So I don't see how it's possible. And by the way, at the beginning of the show, yes, I worked for a congressman Jack Metcalf. 6 years he was out of Washington State, and he hired me on exactly what I'm saying right now on the radio. He used to sneak into my lectures with his chief of staff wearing disguises because they didn't want to be recognized.
But he liked what you said.
He hired me, but I wasn't allowed to go to D.C. to do any of the meetings there because they didn't want anybody to see me. That's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But the truth is, corporatism is an ideology, no different from Bolshevism, Menshevism, fascism. Corporatism is an ideology. And its reach is now so fundamental that if you don't do as you're told, that's why I don't call them congressmen and senators anymore. When I do Carl Nelson's show live in D.C., I'm constantly talking to those congressmen, senators, and aides that are leaving office to go get drunk and cocaine and pick up the prostitutes. And I'm asking them, please, before you do that, come over to the radio station and debate me and tell me I'm wrong about
this. And nobody shows up, right?
Nobody will ever show up. Because the fact is, it's over in that regard. There will never be a third party. This election proved that the American people do not have the capability of independent thinking, that they will only vote black and white, Hillary or Trump, and that means we have no chance of overturning it through an electoral vote.
Well, look what's happening in China. You have one choice. The Chinese president's going to stay there forever. Putin will probably stay there forever at this point.
I don't look at that and I go, oh, my goodness, isn't that terrible? I look at our country. How is it different if the two candidates, the Republican and the Democrat, do exactly what Carol Quigley's quote just said? It's a falsehood. They don't have a problem except on issues of moral questions like abortion or, you know, the manipulation of the Social Security system, those kinds of things. But on the issues that mattered to Carol Quigley when he wrote his book for Georgetown University Diplomatic Service, that's where he was a teacher, he writes it and he says, this is the way it is, not the way it ought to be, and we're not talking about it like it's criminal. It just simply is the way it is right now. How do we overturn it? We can't. Do you remember what happened when that cute little gal, I try to irritate feminists as often as I can, that cute little gal that opposes the banking system, Elizabeth Warren, right? And she said it pointing her little finger and her glasses down on her nose, and like Tweety Bird's grandma. She's pointing her finger at Jamie Dimon. She says, I know and I believe that some of what you've done is illegal and criminal. And Jamie Dimon stands up and looks at her and laughs, and he says, then call a prosecutor. I've got all the money.
All the money you want. Randall, yep. Truck driving in Indiana. Go ahead, Randall.
How's it going tonight, George?
Good, sir. Pretty good.
Hey, can't wait to see the show come to Indianapolis.
Absolutely. We're working on it.
I have a couple quick questions for the guest.
Okay.
It's a little bit off the road a little bit, but it still ascertains to this. Does the guest think that with all the stuff that's going around still about Trump, and, you know, they're saying, hey, we're going to impeach him when we get a chance, he's out of there, you know. Does he think that it would cause a crash in the stock market? And if he makes it all the way through 8 terms and he does a good enough job, do you think Ivanka will be the next president and be the first female? Thanks, man. Doing a great job.
Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I'm sorry to have to say this, but Donald Trump is a malignant narcissist that has never told the truth unless it was accidental. So, no, Trump's not going to do anything about this. Trump will be rewarded just like Hillary, just like Bill, just like Bush Jr., just like Obama. He will be rewarded with stock options, positions on boards. He will be actually will become a billionaire by his term in office. And by the way, let's stop it about something. To impeach him would require both houses of Congress to get rid of him.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen because everybody knows that if that happened to Trump, that could happen to Hillary.
And what about the stock market?
The stock market is a manipulation from the get-go. It'll fall, it'll grow, it'll expand.
Up and down.
Technology and jobs and monetary policy have more to do with that than any president ever could.
Annie in Alabama. Go ahead, Annie.
Hello. I should love for you to bring the truck drivers on, and I love the Teamsters. I don't agree with everything they support, but I am on their side this time about these driverless vehicles, and I believe that a strike, I don't know if a strike will work, but there might be some other tactics because I know some people who will go into a certain store, and every time they go in there, they always drop something and break it on purpose.
Why?
Sometimes in order to fix something for the public good, you've got to damage something that belongs to a crook.
Well, I don't know what you're advocating there, Annie, but I got to tell you, we do advocate our jobs and preservation for our truck drivers because they keep America going. And just this driverless car that killed this poor woman in Arizona, I mean, yeah, people kill people too when they drive. There's no doubt about that. But if I'm going to get hit by somebody, Craig, I'd rather it be a driver than somebody that's not in a car.
You know what? Right now, and I'm saying this because of what she just said earlier, that's what she's describing is the beginning, the seed of the kind of violence that will be in our future. They're going to become more helpless. They're going to be angry. And unless you have the capability to stop being who you are the way you are and become better informed about what actually is happening, because if you think you can hurt General Electric, you know, I put up with the left for 35 years all over this country telling me that we'll boycott General Electric's products.
You can't.
I need them to live. I put up in a lecture once. I said, what are you talking about? Even if your boycott did work on the product, they would simply lower the price 30%.
And that would happen. Craig, we're going to come back with final phone calls with you in just a moment. Fiery night here on Coast to Coast. Next hour, we're going to talk about ghost crimes and the dead with a very special guest. So make sure you keep your dial exactly where it is. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We do that, too, all the time. Webmasters are sending out my messages left and right. So we'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us, of course, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, his book, The Hydra of Carnage. Craig, is that book still available? I mean, some people have been able to find it on Amazon.
Yeah, there's some people out there that gathered up as many of them as they could early on, and they're selling them for over $1,000.
What?
Yeah, and all I can tell you is the only way we can compete is Kathy put both The Hydra and my other book, Human All Too Human, both those books are on sale to the end of the month as a thank you to your audience for having me on. And we'll send also the latest paper, which I know you received.
Oh, yeah.
DARPA.
I sure did.
WOT, War on Terror.
Yep. Well done.
That may be one of the most important papers we've published this year.
And let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I started looking at some things, listening to other shows. I don't have television or radio here where I live, so I pick up on little bits and pieces of it. But there's two sections in here that are absolutely staggering, and that's what DARPA is creating in the military to be deployed in the next 10 years, just the deployment of weapons systems that are just incredible. One of them is referred to as battlefield illusions, and it's designed to make people basically lose their mind on the battlefield, but then they call for testing it on the domestic population.
Oh, great.
Civil disturbances.
Well, you know, we know they've tested biologicals on us before.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about that. So
and there's no question they'll do anything now because the country isn't yours. Like I said, when I produce these papers every week for my client base, there's a reason that I'm doing them, and that is to help them financially and making decisions about what they do with the rest of their lives and their families. And one of the other areas is the complaints people have had for the last 20 years of how many police officers have been guilty of shooting unarmed civilians, mostly black and Hispanic. And I went ahead and I dug around. I wanted to find out exactly why, not just an opinion, but it's in law. The Supreme Court has weighed in some time back in the 70s and 80s, and all law enforcement officers that use deadly force have been granted what the Supreme Court calls qualified immunity. You have to read the documents that I've supplied my clients yourself. It's pretty terrible how far the country has gotten away from being a free republic and instead an oligarchy.
Just amazing things that are going on. When are we ever going to get out of Afghanistan and Iraq, Craig? I don't think we have an exit plan.
Do you remember in the first 100 days of Donald Trump, within the first 3 weeks of being in office, he signed off on dropping the single largest 22,000-ton conventional bomb on Afghanistan. And at the same time that was going on, J.P. Morgan Chase and dozens of mining companies were lobbying the Trump administration to mine, go in, take control of the raw materials in Afghanistan and mine strategic raw materials, gold, silver, platinum, everything you could think of is estimated $3 trillion alone. Within a week of that, the Pentagon announces after that bomb was used that they will no longer report publicly anything that goes on in that area of operation.
Back to the calls we go. We go to Stuart in Pennsylvania. Stu, go ahead.
Hey, George, and Greg, great conversation tonight.
Thank you.
Normally you don't get it till after midnight during the day. It's just people bloviating over the same smoke screen. I missed your – what exactly do you do, Greg? You're an author and what else? You work in the government?
No, right now I'm still a consultant, a paid consultant for companies, corporations, individuals that choose to pay me, and that's what I do. I've been doing it for almost 40 years now. I also work for Congressman Metcalf, and I've been a consultant to federal law enforcement, Homeland Security for 25 years.
Okay.
You know what? If you go to my website, my bio is sitting right there.
It's right there.
There's nothing hidden. And the books that Kathy put on sale, they're available just by calling her tonight or tomorrow, and you can pick up the books. We don't have anything hidden. I have no hidden agenda. I'm paid well enough from my client base and doing what I'm doing to be able to still do this, what I do with George Nuri and other hosts around the country, because I don't get paid to do this. But you have no way of knowing any of this, because other people that do this for a living, they would never go on a radio show
and say anything. Nope.
Well, are you familiar with James Perloff, Shadows of Power, and Merlin Miller's book, Eagles Are Gathering?
Not the second one. I have the first one. Not the second one.
Well, both of these two lay it right on the line like you are. And I have to say, I've paid attention to this for a long time. I was a young man, 20-some years old. Sat right there with an FBI agent that played a part of in the Warren Commission. He played the part of Kennedy in that Warren Commission, and his daughter told me not to say anything. This is going back in the 80s, and I didn't buy the Warren Commission then, and I told the FBI agent, Don Anderton, it's the biggest horse pill the American people ever swallowed, and he turned pure white when I said it. Ever since they got rid of Kennedy, from that time forward, they realized they could do that, and it's been downhill from that point on.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Stu and Craig. I think the Kennedy assassination was done by the mob. I think Bobby Kennedy was stepping on toes, and they wanted the president out to get to Bobby. What do you think?
Well, I don't talk about this very much, but before Oliver Stone ever met Jim Garrison, I talked to Jim every Sunday for 3 years. Every Sunday afternoon, him and I talked for 3 years this mm-hmm. went on. And one of the things Garrison told me when I first got hooked up with him, he was just laughing at me. He was just, he had a foul mouth on him. Sounded like a drill sergeant. And he just called me a couple of bad names and said, how did you even think about calling me? And I said, because it was obvious.
And you got to him, though. You were able to get to him.
Yeah, it was very easy. I just called New Orleans and asked for the court county clerk, and I said, you have Jim Garrison as a judge. And within 2 seconds, the phone was ringing, and Jim Garrison answered the phone.
Jeez.
You want to know what else he told me, though?
What else?
Jim Garrison, that tried Clay Shaw on the JFK assassination,
right?
He actually got half the jury, but he couldn't prove Clay Shaw did it, but he got half that jury to agree that it was a government conspiracy. But you know what Jim told me?
What?
There's been over 100 books published about JFK by different authors.
Mm-hmm.
Not one ever called and talked to Jim Garrison.
Yeah, that's crazy that they didn't.
Well, he was one of the few people that became a father figure to me. But he also told me how I was preparing my white papers at the time was not only good and proper. He'd never seen anybody do it the way I was doing it, and he said, "Don't ever change doing it this way." What I used to do is I would prepare my analysis, my brief, put it in the front part of the paper, and then rather than footnotes, the footnote would be in the text. But every piece of documentation was included in the briefing itself. Nobody had to go to the library or look it up, nothing. Every piece of information is there, cross-checked 3 times. So people that don't want to believe that I'm doing what I'm doing for the reasons I'm doing it, I have no idea what to say to people like this. I've done this for almost 40 years, and I get no colleagues calling. I don't get any kind of somebody reaching out saying, let's work together on something. No, you get nothing.
Are they afraid?
I don't want to say the real reason, but I don't think Donald Trump's the first malignant narcissist that I've met.
Let's go to Keith in Mission Viejo, California. Keith, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Sure. Craig, President Nixon was set up or framed with Watergate because he took us off the gold standard?
Well, I don't think he was set up and framed. He was doing all the things that
Nixon he did what they said he did.
But he did, in fact, do some things that were the same kind of things Kennedy was doing. He ended the war in Vietnam. He mined Haiphong Harbor. He took us off. He closed the gold window. Those things did, in fact, make whatever was going to happen to him markedly worse. He was really doing something that an oligarchy, because I don't believe he believed there was an oligarchy that was trying to run the country, and that's because the executive order that created this thing I just mentioned at the beginning of the show, this super faction, this deep state, that was started under an executive order that he signed. 11490 in the 70s to create under FEMA a government that's always in power but not utilized unless there's a national emergency, and every civilian individual, not elected or appointed, is already chosen for those positions as Secretary of Defense, State, etc. It's in the law of the land, but you'd have to look it up like I did under the continuity of government.
Craig, you talk about how social media may be a threat to society and security. Tell me more.
Without question. Well, I don't know if Glenn Greenwald was the first one to ever say it, but the accusation that went out about Facebook and Google and Verizon and the others is one of their own. I can't remember his name. One of the owners, one of the founders, admitted in an interview in Europe that everybody knew that everything they were creating, from Facebook to Google, all of it, everybody knew that it would be under the control of the intelligence community. They knew they were going to give the information to NSA, or they mm-hmm. never would have been allowed to go forward.
And look at the story I had at the top of the hour about that company that tapped into Facebook. 50 million users they got information on.
Yeah, the thing here is that I can speak to. When I was when I finally got, I got drafted, but then I enlisted in the military, and I went to Aberdeen Proving Grounds with an MOS called 45J20. We were there training on every weapon system in the conventional weapon system of the Army at that time, but we were also developing and we were being taught how to build this other stuff that wouldn't be deployed for 20 years. And I worked on a thing called the Vulcan Cannon. While everybody thought the biggest weapon system was a General Electric minigun, I worked on a Vulcan Cannon four times larger. And it finally, when I got to Vietnam, it was deployed in the unit, coincidentally, that I was assigned to. So what I'm saying is, I have firsthand knowledge of my own experience in the military. You have no idea what they're developing and how far they're prepared to go.
They are years ahead, too.
Decades ahead of us.
Yeah. Let's go to Rick in Bakersfield, California now. We'll get you in here. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in and agree that the media or somebody is trying to control the way we think about who is actually a viable candidate, because when it came time to the debate, who was able to debate? Just the two parties, the two major parties. They cut the other parties out.
Yeah, they always always do, too.
Then afterwards, I think a day or two later or whatever, on the radio or on the TV, I remember they were interviewing Jill Stein and some other person that had run. And then they were presenting those same questions that were presented in the first debate to these people to see what they would have said, you know. And I thought, that's kind of disrespectful, you know, cutting them out completely like they weren't even running.
Okay, what? Can I please give you a couple of books to read?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. And force yourself to read it. It's almost 1,500 pages, but it was a book that was used to teach the diplomatic school at Georgetown University. And Samuel P. Huntington's book, American Politics, The Promise of Disharmony. And those two books will tell you better than any scholar or even myself that this country is neither a free republic nor is it based on democratic principles. We have an oligarchy. And the only thing that will ever stop this oligarchy is if a sufficient number of people were to rise up and put somebody in office against their will, the will of the oligarchy.
Has it always been this way?
In history, yes.
I thought so.
Yeah, this isn't really anything new. And the idea of an oligarchy, you know, we're not talking about communists and fascists or Nazis or anything. The fact of the matter is they're some of the most boring men on earth. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't party, and they're not racist. They're only one thing, green, corporatism, money, power. That's it.
Craig, we're almost out of time. What's new for you? What's next on your plate?
I'm being browbeaten into writing the sequel to The Hydra of Carnage this year. That's what I'm working on right now, putting all the material together. I actually had 188 pages written, but then 9/11 came, and I suddenly had a brand new book that was totally irrelevant.
Keith in South Carolina, squeeze you in, Keith, a minute to go. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now 50 seconds.
Okay. Okay. As far as I wanted to propose, we could make a third party with a blank slate with no platform at all and have it be a forum for third parties to pick one candidate to run against the major parties. And
how would you get the 535 contractors, because that's what they are, the 535 in the House and the Senate, they're subcontractors for the same corporations like Blackwater. How are you going to get them to go along with it?
They're not going to.
They're not going to.
At all. Craig, thanks for being on the program. Take care of yourself, all right?
Always.
You look over your shoulder? Got to be careful. Got to, Craig Hewlett. Up next, we're going to talk about ghost crimes. I kid you not. And the dead in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Also, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the highlight stories and the in the news stories. They are amazing tonight. We'll be back.